It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset.
Jacoby Myers in motion. O'Connell takes the snap, throws it out to him. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae.
I love hearing that sound.
You know, I thought at the end of the year it was nice. Allegiant Stadium started to turn into a home field advantage. You could hear the roar of the crowd.
Well, to me, it's not just unconventional. It's the right way, and it's our way.
Vegas is the global hub of the Raider Nation. Now it's got to act that way every home game.
Raider Nation, as I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
JT the Brick.
It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it.
It's a war to track down Kansas City. I've always been a big fan of running the football.
Hand up to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. First 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win.
I'm always looking for opportunities to compete, man. And this is a great one here.
And now,
Raider Nation unite.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, hour number two, JT, the last one here in Costa Mesa. Actually, I had security come to me, and they're great, saying, is your show over? I said, no, my show's noon to two. Do you know how to get out of here? I said, yes, I think I know how to get out of here, but I don't want to climb the fence. I mean, this thing is secure, man. We're in Costa Mesa, California, and we are on lockdown in this place, man. This is Raiders, man. They got security everywhere, cameras looking at you, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous out here, and heading back to Vegas tomorrow. And I wish I could take my car and helicopter it to Vegas, because everybody's saying, oh, because remember, I lived here a long time, but they're saying it's different now, man. Friday, getting to Vegas, leaving L.A., ooh, not even leaving L.A., leaving Costa Mesa in the O.C., Orange County, but I'll find my way home. We'll get home Friday night. I'll get home. I have a bunch of Modelos waiting for me as we have today's show and tomorrow's show, and then we'll wrap it up, and we'll be back here next week, and it's really a nice setup here. And we're excited. So if you want to get through, it's just me, nobody else. I'll have one security guard so you can have access inside the Raiders training camp. 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. There are supposed to be thousands upon thousands of Raider fans listening, watching, doing all that. We want to hear from a few. The season has begun. We're at training camp. We're not making this up, man. We're here. So let's get some Raider fans going here and get rolling. As I said at the end of the last hour, I think the Raiders are being completely disrespected by the media. And I like Aiden O'Connell a lot. I don't know Gardner Minshew well. I've interviewed him a few times. I can't get Gardner Minshew on the show and say, hey, everybody thinks the Raiders aren't good because of you. You know, I'm not going to do that type of radio. But Gardner Minshew, Andre James admitted it. They're hearing what they're hearing in the background. And they're hearing the fact that, you know, they're not hearing anything because no one seems to want to give the Raiders any respect. And they were an 8-win team last year. They were so much better than Denver and the Chargers last year. They were clearly better. And both Denver got rid of Jerry Jeudy. They've lost a lot of players. I think Denver drafted well, but they got Bo Nix. We didn't want Bo Nix. We had no interest in Bo Nix. And Denver's got him, and it's going to take him a while to get him going. And the Chargers lost a lot of players, their playmakers. But Jim Harbaugh all of a sudden looks like touchdown Jesus, that he's going to come in and the Chargers are going to be completely different. They got a defensive coordinator from Michigan. I don't remember him coaching in the NFL, and the Chargers are supposed to be 4 to 5 wins better. Okay, I don't believe it. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. And then it comes to Kansas City, and I think the Raiders, and they're not as good as Kansas City, but I think they're getting closer to Kansas City than they were a couple of years ago. So I'm not picking wins. I'm not going to sit here. You know, 9-10 wins is where the Raiders should end up. It could be 11 or 12. It shouldn't be lower than 9, in my opinion, or 8. And if it is, there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems. There's going to be some players that won't be here, players that might want to leave, other better players they might want to get in. So I believe that this team has a moment this year to come out and do it right. Do it right. And come out quickly. Roger Goodell in the league did the Raiders no favors with the schedule, opening up with the Harbaugh brothers on the road. I'm going to beat that topic into the ground. And then after that, if the Raiders can get going, if the Raiders can start off 4-2, 3-3, you know, 5-4, whatever it is, I think on the back end of that schedule, they'll be playoff bound. I really do. The only thing that could hold the Raiders back from making the playoffs or a tough year is a slow start. So that leads me to Costa Mesa, where everything looks pretty good. I mean, it really is. A lot of people ask me, what's up with Colt Miller? I saw him working out on the side. Colton's coming off a surgery that he had, and they're bringing him along at the pace of the trainers and the doctors. I'm not concerned about that at all. If Raider fans are, I can't walk you off the ledge. I'm not a trainer or a doctor. And Jackson Powers, when you look at what we have with a great left guard, center, right guard, when you look at the new impact player we got from Oregon, he's not ready to play yet. He is going through a situation with the trainers and doctors to be prepared to come back. Everything that I've heard is he'll be ready to go here pretty soon. If that changes, the Raiders will tell us about that coming up here. So that's about it. Brock Bowers looked great. Today I saw Aiden O'Connell and Minshew make big throws. Jacoby Myers, I tweeted out a photo of him, a video of him making a catch in front of me, you know, just in one-on-one drills, which were fantastic. And then Zamir White looks to be Zamir White, the guy that no one knows. Did anybody watch college football and see what this guy did at Georgia? He wasn't playing at Toledo, man. He wasn't playing at some small school, the Citadel. He was playing at Georgia, and he was a pretty good player. He was backing up Josh Jacobs, and he's ready to go now. So with everything that's happening here, the depth of the offensive line, Andre James joined us earlier. He's like, when we were done with the interview, he's like, all good, JT, we're good. We got a good group. We got a good group that we're excited about. All right, what we're going to get into now is our games as we get to the seventh greatest game in Raider history. Some people think it's one. Some people think it's in the top five. It could be in the top 10. I have it here at this place. Let's get out to one of the greatest Raider games of all time in our top 10 list.
We now present the Raiders top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
Fires for Bolitnikoff. He is going to get inside the five. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders top 10 games of all time begins now. Number 7.
All right, number 7, we go back to December 21st, 1974. The Oakland Raiders 28, the Miami Dolphins 26. This game is called the Sea of Hands. Arguably one of the greatest NFL games ever, and no doubt one of the greatest games in the history of the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The Miami Dolphins were defending two-time Super Bowl champions. This game was nothing more than a heavyweight fight featuring six lead changes, the last of which came on a play with the name game of the Sea of Hands. The venerable Kirk Gowdy, NBC Sports top play-by-play telecaster for many years, called the 1974 AFC playoff game between the Raiders and the Dolphins the greatest game I've ever seen. The Raiders, trailing by five, needed one touchdown. On first and goal from the 8, Ken Stabler dropped back, looking for Bolitnikoff, who was covered. The Miami rush was closing in, finally, with defensive end Vern Dender charging and clinging at his legs, pulling him down. Stabler looped the ball forward to the left side of the front of the end zone, where running back Clarence Davis was working his way back to give his quarterback a target. In a sea of hands, Davis outfought a crowd of white jerseys to come down with the ball and go to the turf, clutching the football in his chest in clear sole possession. The Raiders at that time had scored twice in the final 4:37 to defeat the Dolphins and move forward to the AFC Championship, commonly referred to as the Sea of Hands, one of the great games in the history of the NFL. As we take a look at this, Miami on the scoreboard with a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Bacalico will kick off. Ray Guy normally would kick off, but he has a tender left knee. He kicks the ball off at an angle from the tee. It's a short kick, and it is handled by Matt Moore. Coming out to the 20, to the 25, to the 30. Uh-oh. He's up at the 40. Uh-oh. He's at the 50. Matt Moore is on the way. Oh, and he has run the opening kickoff back for a touchdown.
Well, laughing going on that time in the booth as Miami on the road takes a 7-0 lead, but he was the snake. Kenny Stabler, in one of the finest performances, clutch performances of his career, gets the Raiders on the board with this touchdown to Smith.
7:49 to go in the half. Third and five, Oakland on the Miami 31. Plenty of time. There it goes deep to Smith. Touchdown. Billy Smith.
All right. This crowd has gone crazy. Look at those blacks. The black hankers just wave here in Oakland. The black hankies go.
Unbelievable play, a memorable moment for Kenny the Snake Stable. That made it 7-7 in the second quarter. We move to the third quarter of play where our great friend, he's like a second dad to me, the great Freddie Biletnikoff with this touchdown catch.
Second down 10, Raiders on the Dolphins 13. Miami leading 10-7. Minnesota beat the Cardinals today 30-14. There's a pass left to Biletnikoff.
If he comes
touchdown.
In.
Freddie B making a great catch, feet in bounds, the great hands of the great number 25, Fred Biletnikoff. Hey, we couldn't forget Branch in this game as we move on, as Kenny Stabler understood the magnitude of this game and the offensive weapons he has finding Cliff.
Biletnikoff has six receptions, 86 yards, one touchdown. They're going to the air now. Here's the deep one to Branch, deep. He's got it!
That was a big play on that play. So Cliff Branch involved in the game. One of the great breakaway catches of Cliff Branch. Speed kills in the end zone of that game. Then we move on to Miami, where Moore was really taking over this game. He was the best player on the field that day for Miami.
227 to go. 114 yards for Sanders.
All right, so at that point in time, the game was on the line, and this is the catch that will go down in Raider history as one of the most important of all time, the Sea of Hands catch. Here's Kenny Stabler to Davis again.
No timeout left for Oakland. There's your score, the time. Miami scored first in the game, 89-yard kickoff return by rookie Matt Moore. Oakland came back to tie. Miami went ahead in a field goal, 10-7 at the half. Here he is, fading, looking. He's under the gun. He's tied, he throws. It is.
And we know this sound, it's old sound, it's a little bit hard to hear, I understand that, but that was it. The catch of the Sea of Hands. And then our buddy, Phil Villapiano, one of the great Raider legends of all time, ices the game with this interception.
Tracy's asking the referee to quiet the crowd down. Miami fans famous to wave their white handkerchiefs when the Dolphins score the Orange Bowl. The Raider fans have been waving the black socks today. Silver and black for the Raiders. 28-26 Oakland. Retreating. Time moving. He heaves it long. It is intercepted.
Great that Phil Villapiano, in one of the greatest Raider games of all time, plays a huge role on the defensive side. So the Raiders win the Sea of Hands on December 21st, 1974. And that comes in as our seventh greatest game in Raider history. Could have been top three. We understand, as you're sensing where we're going in the summer series, as we try to get inside the top 10, there's a lot of big games here, and we chose that one there. Probably got it wrong. Could have been a little bit higher here, but if you're doing the math the way we are, we're looking at championships too and other big games. That was a big one because it was a clutch, come from behind, memorable win, and it was a postseason game that knocked out the 72 Dolphins, who were still really good in 73 into 74. And Don Shula still to this day talked about the Raiders having an advantage, watering down the field. Listen to Shula, Zonka, and the late, great John Madden on the conditions of the field in Oakland.
The footing was so bad. I mean, if I'm able to get back to the football, I'm able to make the catch and probably still get up and crawl into the end zone for a touchdown. So it just shows you how critical the footing was in that ball game. I mean, you know, there were numerous plays where, because the field was so wet and you couldn't get good traction, people were falling down all over the place.
It was strange that that it was a wet field, and you know, that was the only rain or wet spots around. So you had to figure something happened.
Let's see. Field conditions when you play against Matt. A lot of argument about that. Wonder why. We go out, it's a dry season, but the field is a bog. You know, like, wait a minute. Could they be trying to slow our fast wide receivers down because they're a little hurt in the backfield, in the secondary?
Our field was always wet, and it's below sea level, and we never watered it. But they wanted to believe that we did, but it didn't make sense. I mean, I have Cliff Branch out there, who's the fastest guy in football. Why would I want to slow down the game? So it was one of those things that you defend it. No, we don't. It's below sea level.
You know, Madden get all, I didn't, but somebody did.
So after a while, I just said, okay, if they want to believe that, I'll just tell them, okay, we did it. They never watered anything. But if he wanted to believe that we watered it, I'll tell him we watered it.
You know, Madden did that a lot. I'm not saying they watered the field down or not. I wasn't there for the sea of hands, but, you know, those accusations are fair, and the fact that we have the sound of that is amazing. And, you know, Madden always said it. You think we cheat? All right, we do cheat. You think we water down the field? Yeah, you're right, we watered down the field. You think we play tough and we're cheap? You're right. What are you going to do about it? Right? The great John Madden line, what are you going to do about it? And the complaints from the 72, 73, and now 74 Dolphins playing at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. Here's another good one. Madden, Foo, and Stabler on Freddie B. Freddie B, you know, puking a little bit and trying to get his nerves calmed down before this big game.
There would be a couple of minutes before we were to go out in the field, and Fred would be throwing up in the bathroom, and everyone could hear it because, you know, it's so quiet in a locker room. And then, you know, you didn't have to have a watch. You didn't have to look at anything. When Fred threw up, we were ready to go.
Nobody's treated themselves worse than Fred Bolitnikoff. Freddie could not eat. Freddie puked all the time.
I would tell our center, Jim Otto, if Freddie catches a ball, go right to the official and tell him we need a new ball. Because you couldn't throw the ball after Freddie caught it.
His puke would be stuck to his stickum that was on his socks. The man did not take care of himself at all. But he was a great receiver.
I have never heard this sound before. This is unbelievable. Great job by Bobby and getting all this sound on the Sea of Hands games. Here's Kenny Stabler on what was happening before the great catch called the Sea of Hands in that game.
I came off the sidelines, and John's an unmade bed, you know. Kenny, what you want to do? What are we going to do? What, you know, this.
The play was designed for either of the Raiders' two great receivers, Fred Biletnikoff on the right or Cliff Branch on the left. Both would be covered, setting up one of the most improbable finishes in NFL history.
Yeah, and finally, our good friend Phil Villapiana, who I texted today because he played such a big role in this game. Foo on his famous interception that sealed the game in the fourth quarter.
Nobody wanted that game more than John Madden. Nobody deserved it more than John Madden. And I went and gave John the ball, and I'll never forget. He stuck it up in the air. It just looked great. It was a sea of people all around him. What a game. What a game. And it was one of the greatest moments of my life to be part of that game.
You know, there's been a lot of controversy about that football over the years because I talked to Raider Mort, and he thought he had that ball, literally the ball. And other people said they had the ball of the Sea of Hands. It is a pretty controversial topic. It's one of the most important footballs of all time. Who has that football? It's a famed piece of memorabilia in Raider history. I don't know the answer to that, but a lot of people have talked about that over the years. JT, live from Costa Mesa, Raiders training camp. We're taking your phone calls on the top 10 games of all time. We just came in at number 7 with the Sea of Hands, December 21st, 1974. So that's where we'll be for the rest of the show. I'm wide open. I'm the last guy here. For those on YouTube, I'll say goodbye. I appreciate our YouTube audience here as we're growing this day by day. I told you we'd give you in-depth team coverage. We're giving it to you live on YouTube. JT the Brick, YT is how you subscribe for free. And then you get in and you see us during the commercials. We talk to everybody. People are talking back and forth in the live chat. Q's coming up at the top of the hour. So that's what we're doing here. I am going to have a great, great night tonight. Here, got a lot of friends here in town who are, you know, fitting me in. So it's good when you're kind of on a working vacation. Yes, this is still July, everybody. Football season is on the horizon, and we're taking advantage of it as the Raiders are on the road in Costa Mesa. Our live coverage of training camp brought to you by Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of all tequilas.
Dude, my senior year at Washington State, every single game, it was Gardner Minshew or Trey Tinsley or Anthony Gordon. So, like, you know, it is what it is. If you're out there, it's going to be a heck of a time. And, you know, just going to try to put our best foot forward and lead the team best we can.
Gardner Minshew, however you want to describe him, I'm fine with it. Will he be the starter? Will he be the backup? Will he play a lot this year? Will he play a little? We do not have the answer. No one has the answer as we move forward. He's competing against what seems to be the number one quarterback, Aiden O'Connell here. Both look good today. Were fantastic at times today. And again, I spent most of my day today following Brock Bowers and watching him and Michael Mayer run routes. Also Andre James in the offensive line. And Zamir White, who spoke to the media. Robert Spillane also spoke to the media. We'll get to that in a little bit. We're chronicling the greatest games of all time. It's our summer series. Sea of Hands is today, and that's December 21st, 1974, as the Raiders beat the Dolphins in the AFC playoffs. One of the greatest catches of all time by Clarence Davis from the Snake. Touchdowns by Biletnikoff and Branch. Villapiano with an interception. Clearly a game, if you're a Raider fan, that stands the test of time with you. We're taking your calls on that one just today. Only game we're talking about today is Sea of Hands. If you were alive for the game, if you watched the game, if you remember the game, jump in and give us your great memory. Here's Robert in Portland. Robert, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, JT, that was a big deal because they had beaten Dallas to finish the year. And, you know, they had lost, you know, tough game in the AFC Championship games prior to that. But they had beaten Miami, and of all places, at Cal in 73 in the second game of the season after losing to the Vikings the first game of the year. And Vikings, of course, went on to play in the Super Bowl. I just remember that game as just they didn't play that well on defense, JT. It was a tough game. And I just think that they just willed themselves to win. And they did win a tough game against Dallas prior to that. And, of course, they lost a tough one to the Steelers in the AFC Championship game the following game. And, of course, Steelers went on to beat the Vikings. But I just wanted to remind people, they did beat the Dolphins to end their long winning streak in Cal at Memorial Stadium. That was in 73, second game. You know, a lot of people may have forgotten that game, but that was another barn burner in that game. Incredible game as well. But, boy, did Bobby do a hell of a job bringing in these sound bites. I forgot about all of them, and some of them I've never heard before.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we're doing it. Thanks for saying that, Robert. We're trying to bring back the history of the Raiders and their greatest games. Last year, we did the top 10 players in Raiders history, the Raiders all-time team. Just for radio, this isn't a Raider event. It's a JT the Brick Show event, and we appreciate the fact that you like what we're doing here. We're only doing this because it's the summer, and we're looking for content, and now we got some summer content as we're at training camp, and we're building the all-time greatest games along with trying to cover training camp for you. 702-365-9200. I want to hear this. I wasn't able to. We started our show as Robert Spillane, the linebacker for the Silver and Black, had a really good year last year, borderline Pro Bowl year, especially with the interceptions. He recently just spoke to the media a few moments ago.
In the world, I always wanted to be a father, so I had such a great father, and my wife has such a great father, so I have great role models to look up to, and it's nothing better than being a dad.
Can I just do one follow-up question to that? They say that once you become a dad, there's like an extra motivation, extra push. Do you feel that coming into this preseason?
For sure. I got a lot to play for. I have my kids' college funds to play for. I want to make their life easy as can be, so definitely some extra motivation. They call it dad strength, too, so I got a few extra pounds of force with me, so I'm excited about that.
Rob Jack was just talking about how I know you guys don't necessarily live 24/7 on social media or look at all the rankings and everything, but there are some 6-11 predictions out there and some rankings that probably don't look so good. He said it drives you guys. You guys have talked about it. Does that kind of fuel you, what the outside world might think about what you guys are?
I try to not see it, but I'm pissed off. I'm angry, not just about that ranking, about a lot of rankings that go on. And, of course, it adds to the fuel in the fire. So you see it, you don't want to see it, you don't really care, but at the end of the day, you want respect. So what I say now gets none of that done, so we're going to go out there and make it happen.
But does it help that in some ways you guys, it's in your hands to change that?
It's always in our hands, so yeah.
Before practice started, Patrick Graham, you know, said a lot of really kind things about you as a player, but he also said that he feels you're an extension of him on the field. What does that mean to you, and how do you try to carry that every day in practice and in games?
It means when situational plays come up, I got to be thinking what he's thinking so I can relay it to the guys on the field. And me and him have a lot of one-on-one talks, a lot of one-on-one meetings to get that done.
You've always talked about making game-changing plays, two interceptions by the defense in the red zone. Is that kind of what you're talking about, and how important is it to set that tone even day
without a doubt. Turnovers win games. You get the ball back to the offense, keep points off the board, and that's what we're trying to do as a defense.
Zamir White's got some big shoes to fill. What were your impressions of Zamir last season and also this offseason?
Zamir is a tough country SOB, so I'm excited to see what he could do.
Next week, when the pads go on, how does that change just the whole complexion of this camp?
Football is football. At the end of the day, physicality is a big part of our game. Right now, we're working footwork and fundamentals, and we want to carry that over into next week. The violence is either in you or it's not. So hopefully we're hitting so hard that the coach got to say, yo, we got to chill out. So that's what we're hoping for.
How have you seen things go with your new linebacker coach, Mike Caldwell?
I love Mike Caldwell. A multi-year defensive coordinator, knows our system in and out, understands the bigger picture of the game, and is able to relay it in a very clear and concise message. So I'm excited to be working with him.
Robert, being away from
speaking of working too hard, your GPS boss, you're trying to get more work out of there. Brother. Thank you. Sorry, guys.
180 extra steps in there,
right?
Yeah, whatever. So let's go back to the question. Just, you know, I understand you just became a father, but now being here with your football family, how important is it to get away from it and just kind of refocus on football?
Yeah, it's a real brotherhood. They got my back, I got their back. So one of the things I tell my D-line every day is, go eat. You know, I'm behind you. I got safeties behind me. The safeties tell me, Rob, go eat. We'll make you right. So when you get 11 guys on the same page, trusting each other, playing for each other, good things are going to happen.
Did you know that this was kind of what you were going to find when you joined the Raiders? Like, it feels like you're a Raider, you know, and in spirit and everything like that. But did you know that that was kind of what you were going
to
find?
You know, the first person I talked to after they offered me a contract to come here was Max Crosby. So just hearing him set that tone from the first day that I talked to him on the phone, that's what I was expecting, and that's what I wanted. That's why I came out here.
As a new season starts and you're out here, how much confidence do you take from the success you had last year, both personally and as a team, that you can kind of carry over to what you're doing?
Yeah, confidence comes from within. What we did last year doesn't matter positively or negatively. It comes down to a new year, a new season, new guys, reforming those bonds, knowing who you are on the field with. So that's why we're out here in camp working together, getting those reps in.
Well, being that Antonio obviously played the position, see him talking to you in between plays on 7-on-7, you know, how helpful is that, that the head coach played the same position and talks with you in between plays?
Multi-time Super Bowl champion. He knows how to play the position. He knows things that aren't even in the playbook and how to extend yourself in different ways to make plays. And that's all we're trying to find out how to do.
You mentioned speaking.
All right, that's Robert Spillane. We wanted to have a little bit of that for you. I love the soundbite where he said he's pissed off, too. That question came from Vinny Bonsignor about what about the outside noise saying 6-11, some of the predictions for the Raiders, and I really wanted to hear that. I wouldn't have heard that if we didn't play a few minutes of it. So that's my theme as we're out here in sunny, beautiful Costa Mesa. A number of players that I've talked to on and off the record are pissed off. They are playing for respect. They don't hear. They claim they don't hear the background noise, but some are telling me directly that they do. And you just heard that from Robert Spillane. You heard Andre James on with me earlier today. You could take what you want from it. You know, for a radio guy, I've been around this team for 27 camps. This is an important one because there's a lot of doubters. There's a lot of doubters here. I don't see the national media out here yet the way you normally would. No big deal. We'll see what happens here in the next couple of days. Raiders 66, as we look back at the sea of hands, our game today in our summer series. Go ahead.
Yeah, JT, this is one of the times when I disagree with you. This I have as one of the greatest game in NFL history. The historical reference, no, it did not lead to a Raider or a title. But when you look at the backdrop, you remember back at that time the Dolphins had their fans and they had those white hankies. And every time they'd show a Dolphin game, it's, oh, their fans are out with their white hankies. Well, the Raider radio station got a hold of that and said, let's have Blackout Sunday. This Sunday, we're going to have Blackout Sunday. So they got everybody to wear black, to bring a black sock or a black towel to wave at the game. So the game is starting. Everybody's up. They're waving their black socks. They kick off, and the Dolphins run the kickoff back for a touchdown. You could hear a pin drop, the noise there. And by the way, was that the guy from West Oakland, Chris from West Oakland in the first hour?
Mm-hmm.
That had Al Ocasal. I am officially jealous of him getting to go to that game and having Al Ocasal hold him up and put him in there. That's incredible. But that the start of that game was, you couldn't have painted a worse picture. And so the Raiders, the Dolphins come in, appearing in three straight Super Bowls, winning two straight, going for the three-peat, which a mm-hmm. Team this year is trying to do. And the Raiders ended that. So they were the first team to end a chance at a three-peat, and I think they're going to do it this year. But if you think that iconic catch by Davis in the end zone at the end of the game was great, you take a look at the one that Biletnikoff had.
Yes.
He was pinned against the sideline in the end zone. He had Foley draped all over him, pinning one arm in there. He had to reach up one hand, catch the ball one-handed, tiptoe in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown. One of the greatest catches in playoff history. And tell Fred, you know, that was awesome. And the Dolphins, over a two-year period, they had that undefeated season, they were 26-2 in 72 and 73. And the Raiders, as the previous caller said, were one of those losses. But when you look at the historical reference, there were no less than 20 Hall of Famers involved in that game. Just remarkable. There was like seven lead changes in that game. And for the Raiders to come out on top, and it was billed as Super Bowl 10.5 because everybody thought that the winner of that game was going to win the Super Bowl. Well, the Steelers had something to say about that, and it didn't work out that way. But, yeah, that was one of the greatest games in NFL history. I think it's too low on this list. But I love listening to the list, and thanks for the time, JT.
Yeah, appreciate it. And I agree. I think I should have had this or could have had this game a little bit higher up here. That's why we're not fighting over it. We're debating it. We're having fun. Not everybody's going to agree with the order of the top 10, but we're in the top 10 at 7 here. You can imagine what games we have in front of this, the significance of the games that led possibly to championships. It's all coming up here as we're live from Raiders training camp, and they have the sprinklers going off, and the sprinklers on this field are about a foot away from me. So the sprinklers are going over the field, over the sideline to my location here. And, man, I feel like just running under the sprinkler. Remember when you're a kid in the summertime and you just run under the sprinkler? I feel like that's what I should do right now. Amazing time out here. Love the access that we're getting. The autumn wind is a Raider pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you around and upside down while you're drinking Mount Gay Navy Strength Rum. The next time you're enjoying a frosty rum punch with 114 proof, Navy strength. Raise a glass to the Raiders of yesteryear and drink up. Available at Lee's Liquor outlets. Please drink responsibly. Part of our in-depth team coverage of Raiders training camp, brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence. They brought me a bottle of the Navy strength rum. 114 proof. I love Mount Gay rum. This is next level stuff, man. This is next level. And if you're in the valley, you can go get it at Lee's and ask for Mount Gay Navy Strength Rum. And you'll understand when this hits the market, and it is now, how big of a deal it is. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. On the other side, we'll tease ahead to the game that we got coming up tomorrow. And I'm going to get out of here, clean up a bit, get a little lunch, and check out the rest of the OC, Orange County, as the Raiders are here and we're excited to be here on a great day. No night shows for me, just wrapping up the month of July. No place I'd rather be than with the Raider Nation in Southern California on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, it's just about being around each other. We have nothing else to do. You know, AP said it very loud and clear. Like, if you don't want to be here, if you got something else more important when you're out here, you just go to Telesco and, you know, ask for your release. You know, we're here to get better, get closer, and just focus on improving every day.
Mad Max Crosby, JT, as we're wrapping it up live from Costa Mesa, Raiders training camp day two. Everything's going pretty smoothly from the football field to the broadcast. Q Myers is coming up next. Q will always have a big show for you today. He was at the podium out here at practice like he always does. Vinny Bonsignor in the morning as you catch his show every morning early. So they get a big setup here, you know, before 7 a.m. and we broadcast right to me here at 2 o'clock and then Q picks it up. So a great time as we're out here today. A lot of members of the media who cover the Raiders locally in Las Vegas are out here. So from Kevin Bollinger and CBS and our friends from The Athletic, Deshaun Reed and Vic Tafer, there are a lot of people working here trying to get content and storylines. And so far it seems to be the biggest storyline nationally and locally is the quarterbacks and who's going to win out between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. There's really nothing to report on other than throwing balls in the air against little to no defense today. There was a spirited goal line and inside the red zone that went back and forth. Big touchdown by Devontae, an interception. It's going to go back and forth here, and we'll figure it out before we head into the preseason, that's for sure. Patrick Graham was also able to speak today. And, you know, for Patrick Graham, we're just going to play one or two of these bites. Here is the defensive coordinator of the Silver and Black. And as I said, if the Raiders play well this year and they build up and they play great on defense, depending on what the offense do, I don't think Patrick Graham's going to be around forever because he's going to be a head coach in the league here, a head coach sooner than later. Here's Patrick Graham from earlier today.
So first things first, last year, coming back, none of that matters at all, at all. Again, the fact that we have you know, familiarity with each other, there's a positive there. But in terms of how it's going to play out in the 2024 season, none of that stuff matters. And the beauty of it is they understand that. They understand. I get the question, but they understand that. Everything that we accomplished this year in 2024 is going to be earned starting with what's going on that field right now and during training camp as we develop our fundamentals, start developing the fundamentals in terms of the run game, work on the communication because there are some new pieces. But in terms of trying to look back and see how that's going to play into this year, if we do that, and they're not doing that, but if we did do that, that would be a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love that. That was a really big soundbite that I think is going to go viral on Patrick Graham. And forget about last year and what they did, because they ended the year with a lot of momentum. And the run defense, very important, because by all accounts, even though Justin Herbert has a really big arm, the new-look Chargers are going to want to run the ball. The Chargers are going to try to be a run-heavy team from everything I've heard from insiders and people that follow the Chargers. And then in week two will be the Baltimore Ravens home opener. And you know how they like to run it, because Lamar Jackson runs. He's coming off an MVP season, and he's going to want to run it, and he's going to want to run it in a broken pocket situation and take off. And the Raiders have to be ready for that. More from Patrick Graham at the podium earlier today.
Same thing that Max preaches every day, same thing that AP's preaching. Get 1% each day. That's, if you look too far ahead, I get it. The excitement of training camp, the excitement of the season, you know, it's July 5th and people ask me, send me text messages about when the season starts. So can I enjoy my vacation first? And plus there's the internet. But I get why everybody's excited, but if we got to get better every day, that's where it starts. So whether it's Jack, whether it's Christian, whether it's Max, whether it's me, you know, I made a mistake on the script today. I'm pissed about that right now. If you can tell my tone, because I tell these guys to be on it, and I messed it up. But 1% every day, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do.
Hey, breaking news that Dylan Cease pitched the second no-hitter in Padres history earlier, a 3-0 victory over the Washington Nationals, as they completed a three-game sweep. We're not too far from San Diego. That is a big moment there. I'm a Yankee fan, furious about how the Mets own the Yankees in this last series. I really believe that Aaron Boone needs to be fired, because not because he's a bad guy. The Yankees need a kick in the tail. The only way to do that is to fire Aaron Boone. Bring in Paul O'Neill, make him the manager. I don't care if it's Brad Ausmus, who's the bench coach. But Bobby and I grew up in the era in the 70s and 80s. If your team was good and really good and they couldn't win, you fired the manager during the season as a last-ditch effort to try to save the season. And I can't believe I'm saying this about the Yankees with the first wild card, but they are imploding. The United States women beat Zambia. Rolling. Our women's national team in the group stage at the Olympics. Our men's team lost. Because our men's team loses a lot of soccer games, no doubt about that. And the Olympic Games are opening tomorrow night on NBC and Peacock, and I called ahead to my wife because I'm going to be driving tomorrow at the start of that, and I'm hoping I can get out of here and get home on time. But that's going to look great as they're coming down the Seine, and they're going to be on boats for the opening ceremonies. It's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be one of the most beautiful settings in the history of the Olympic Games. I don't know how the Olympics are going to turn out. Now, I'm not here to break down track and field and gymnastics, but that opener is going to be special here. And then after that, the Olympics comes here to Southern California, to Los Angeles, and we'll be excited to see that. As a matter of fact, I might want to go to that. I might want to go see that sometime here, as that'll be probably the last time we have for a long time to see the Olympic Games on American soil. We'll have 4 years for that. Q's coming up next. Please listen to his show. I got some social media out there from camp. You can follow me on YouTube, JT The Brick. YT. I'm on Facebook, JT The Brick, and on X at JT The Brick. And we'll do it all here again tomorrow as I am scouring this numeric roster, getting ready for my duties as play-by-play on radio. There's a lot of names, man. A lot of names of players that aren't going to be here, aren't going to make the team, but we're pulling for them all because they're going to be playing in the preseason. So this is when you got to really study some of the current numeric roster, because there are more and more names, and more names than I've ever seen, it seems like. 2 pages worth, front and back. See you back here tomorrow. Thanks to Bobby for putting the show together. Kevin Bollinger, Eric Allen, Andre James, who joined us. Really memorable show for us, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great night, everyone.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.